I would like you to open your Bibles to our text, John chapter number 10. We're continuing our series, Loud and Clear, John chapter number 10. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 4. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. I need you to take note of that. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I jump to verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I read that again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Holy Spirit divine, as we go into the world this morning, speak to us, teach us, guide us, instruct us. Let the word come alive unto us this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you open the ears and the hearts of my brethren this morning, and let this word make sense to them. Lord, I ask that you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Write the word and inscribe it into the hearts of your people as the word flow out of me like streams of living water this morning. Let it build up. Let it edify. Let it impart with grace and with divine energy. Let there be a transformation in our heart as we hear your word this morning. Let something happen to us supernaturally as we hear your word. Let there be encouragement of heart. Let there be correction. Let there be instruction and reproof in righteousness where required. Let us all, at the end of this service, have a single testimony that have been blessed of the Lord. Let there be a release of the power to do, not just the power to hear, but the power to do as we hear your word this morning. Let the Holy Spirit go into action. Angels of God, I send you loose right now. The Bible says, are they not ministering spirits? Send forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Begin to speak and minister to the hearts of God's people. Take that which belongs to the Father and reveal them into our heart. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say a big amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, we started this series, Loud and Clear. And we've gone through a couple of the details of this. And I just want us to take another step this morning. You remember we started with no mute shepherd. And the emphasis in that particular sermon was to say that the shepherd speak. There is no mute shepherd. The reason why we are required to hear is because the shepherd himself speak. The shepherd himself speaks into our hearts. The shepherd himself teaches us. And the shepherd never keeps quiet. And then following that, we talked about the sheep in fellowship. And the emphasis in that particular message was the fact that the sheep that hear God's voice are the sheep that are in fellowship with him. And we said that relationship is a matter of birth. Fellowship is a matter of choice. We have relationship with the Father because we are born into the kingdom. And that's a reason of birth. You did not choose that. No one chose how he will be born and who is going to give birth to him or her. It just happens. But the fellowship between a man and his child or his son or his daughter is a function of choice. The child chooses to engage with the father. The daughter chooses to engage with the father, and that's what we call fellowship. And we establish that all of us, if we're born again, we are born of God. But for us to hear and to hear him well, we need to be in fellowship with him. And then last week, we entered into another phase, and we talked about learning to hear God's voice, the training and the instruments. The training and the instruments. And we emphasized more on the training last week. The Bible says it is by the reason of use. Hebrews chapter number 5. By the reason of use. By the reason of use, they have their senses exercised. In other words, hearing God is by reason of the use of your hearing. It's by the reason of use, rather, of your ears. As you use your ears, it gets developed. And the Holy Spirit is a master in taking us through this training. He's a master at it because he's done it for generations and generations and generations before we came into the scene. So the training is very important. But this morning, I'm going to be stepping on another platform. I'm going to be talking about the instruments. You know, the training is what you go through with the Holy Spirit. And I did mention that it takes us from one step to another, you know, through the training, through the journey. Usually, we start from what I refer to as the low-risk issues. And then it will step into medium-risk issues, and then it will get into high-risk issues. It goes through that training with you. And as you begin to go through the training, you begin to understand this thing that is called the voice of God, which usually comes by reason of impression, a deeply seated thought in your heart, a hunch that comes from nowhere. And you begin to practice hearing God's word. And you begin to act upon what you have heard, and the result will tell you whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you or otherwise. And the Holy Spirit will take you back to the beginning and begin to instruct you and direct you and guide you. And that's the training. And there are no substitutes to that. I mean, it's something that everyone that desires to hear God has to go through. You know, it's a training. It's just what you need to go through to hear God's voice. This morning, I want to talk about the instrument. And I did mention the training first before I talked about the instrument, because the instrument of hearing God is not a substitute in any way to the training. Unfortunately, many of us, we follow after looking for the instruments, you know, 7 keys to hearing God's voice, you know, 6 keys to knowing that it's God and not the devil, you know, 5 keys to know that it's the Holy Spirit and not my neighbor, you know, and we go through all those. But the training is key. Until you are trained, you don't even know to use the instrument. The instrument becomes useful in your hands because you've got the training. So what we're going to be talking about this morning is how to use the instrument, having gone through the training, or rather, how the instrument will help your training, will enhance your training, because that's the purpose of the instrument. Years ago, I went to visit my mechanic, and I was going to fix some other things in my car. As soon as I drove into the garage or into the shop or wherever they had their stuff, their workshop, the man said, you've come for something. I said, yes. As I was going to mention what I came for, he said, I noticed that, you know, your exhaust is having problem. That was the last thing I wanted to hear, because I just wanted to fix this other problem and run away. And as soon as he said, I said, no, don't even bother. He said, the exhaust has a problem. And why did he say so? Because of the sound. As soon as I drove in there, he perceived the sound. How did he perceive the sound? By reason of training. His ears were so much trained. I argued with him for 2 reasons. Number one, I did not want to spend extra money. I just wanted to fix the other problem that I came to fix. Number two, you know, sometimes I didn't want to waste time. I just wanted to fix that other problem and just escape, you know. But as he insisted, he brought us some instruments and he showed me where there was a leakage in the exhaust. Of course, I wasn't happy. But the man brought out the instrument to confirm what he had by reason of his training. I didn't hear that, you know, because my ears was not trained. I had no training to understand the voice of an exhaust, a burst exhaust, you know. I have, my training is to listen to the heart of people and the lungs. Say, breathe in, out. You've got problem, my boy, you know. That's my training. And sometimes my patient comes, what do you hear? That does, I say, it's by training. It's by training. But unfortunately, in this instance, I was not trained to hear the heartbeat of the exhaust. But the mechanic was able to. And then he brought out the instrument to confirm, more so to actually help me than to help himself, because he knew exactly what he was talking about. So the instruments, what I'm getting at is the instruments is to confirm or sometimes to refute what you perceive to be the voice that you think you had by reason of your training. So if you don't have the training, forget about the instrument, because you're going to kill somebody. Okay? You're going to mess up with the car of somebody if you just rely on the instrument. The training is what forms the background before you use the instrument. Now, what are the instruments that God has given to us to hear God's voice? And this, like I said, they are not substitute, but they just help us to test the authenticity and the validity of the voice that we think we have perceived. I remember I shared last week that it is important for us as believers to test the spirit, to test the voice, to test what we think we have heard. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. You know, beloved, do not believe all the spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many prophets have gone into the world deceiving people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, I've just paraphrased. You know, you need to test the spirit. And I gave an instance of the spirit of prophecy. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, it talks about two or three prophets speaking and all the others are judging. Others are testing their prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 9. What are they testing it for? What are they looking for? They are looking for three essential keys. They are looking for the word of exhortation, word of comfort, and the word of edification. If it does not have exhortation, if it does not have edification, it does not have comfort, then that spirit is not of God. That spirit of prophecy is not of God. It's a deceitful spirit, and you need to check it. So if a man stand up, if a man will stand up in a church, for instance, and give a prophecy, and the man of God over the house, who is the set man over the house, is able to perceive that it does not edify, it does not exhort, it does not bring comfort, then he should ask the man to sit down. Because that's not the spirit of prophecy. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. So these things are in the background for us to test the spirit. And the same way, the voices that we hear, there are so many. A few weeks ago, I said that the voice that we hear may come from the Spirit of the Lord. It may come from ourselves. It may come from the devil. It may come from people. People that are of significance in our lives. Parents, loved ones, family members, children. People that are close to us and that have a say in our lives. We can perceive from these three or four different sources. How do we know whether this is actually from God and not from these other sources? Because all these other sources lead to one way, destruction. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It does not matter where it's coming from. If it does not come from the Spirit of the Lord, it leads to one place called death. And death does not mean physical expiry of life. It means a detachment from the life of God. And of course, that causes confusion and chaos. Okay? So how do we test the spirit? How do we know that this voice that we are hearing, or this impression, this hurt that is coming to our heart is of God? Number one, the first instrument is the word of God. Does it agree with the word? Does this voice agree with the word? Does it agree with the spirit of the word? I go a step further. Does it agree with the word? Does it agree with the spirit of the word? And I will tell you in a short while while I have gone a step further. Now, that is why there is no substitute to knowing God's word, because it is the word of God that you confirm what you have heard with. You know, we process life not just by the word in the Bible. And when we're talking about the word of God, we're not just talking about the word in the Bible. The one that helps you better is the word of the Lord in your heart. The word of the Lord that you have processed and that you have deposited in your heart. Why? Because you process life and you view life and you view voices on the platform of the word that is in your heart. The word in your heart is like a screen. So when the voice comes into your heart, you process it by the word that you have in your heart, which is a screen. And that's the more beneficial one. Of course, we can always make references to the word of God each time we want to make confirmation or want to refute what is coming into our heart as impression. But I'm saying that the one that benefits you more is the word that you have processed and you have stored in your heart. It's just like you've taken fish, you know. Medical scientists will tell us fish contains basically protein. Now, the protein on your table does not benefit you. Even though you've bought it, you've cooked it, it's right there with you. You've got it. It's just like the word of God, the Bible. But as long as it's on your table, it does not benefit you. Somebody say, I've got fish. Yeah, but you've not eaten it. It does not benefit you. That's like the word standing in there. It's not how many Bibles you've got in your heart that confirms to us that you've got enough word. All right? It does not matter how many translations. It's the word that is processed. In fact, when you hit the fish and you are not able to process it, it still does not benefit you. Why? Because until it is processed, before it releases what we refer to as amino acids. And it is that amino acid that helps in the building of cells and tissues. So if it's not processed, it does not help you. So what am I saying? In reference to God's word, it's not possession of the Bible or the fact that the word is written in the Bible that benefits you. It is when you have read, understood, processed it, Now, when you process it, then it builds up some cells and tissues in your body, and then that is what you use as a screen when the voice comes to you. All right? And this is the very important thing. We process the voice as to how it aligns with the word. And the beauty of it is you need to hear, you know, the better position to take is to hear the word, process it, have it stored, and use it as a screen for the voice that will come. Because when you have heard the voice and you are beginning to look for what to use as a screen, you are already going to be biased. And that's what happens to a lot of us. You've already heard the voice. There is an impression in your heart, and you're just looking for a word to confirm. Lord, give me a word to confirm. Go and kill your neighbor. Give me a word to confirm. That's what we do. When you begin to look for a word to confirm what you have heard, it puts you at a much precarious position because you're just looking for what will confirm what you have already thought about. But when you have the screen in your heart as the word, and when the voice comes, it has a screen, it has a basis that is coming through, and then you are able to view it from the word, and you're going to compare it with the word, and of course that may lead you into more study, more search of the word, but it is better you have the word in your heart. There are no substitutes to this. No substitute to the Bible says, your word have I kept in my heart, Psalm 119, that I may not sin against you. It's the word of God that has been processed that stores in your heart. And that's why it is important for us to hear the word and visit the word and study the word and know the word. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not the truth that is available in the Bible. It is the truth that you know. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will make you free. There are countless truths in the Bible, but the one that makes you as a person free, the one that causes emancipation from the power of darkness for you, is the one that you know. So it is important for us to begin to process life on the basis of the processed word, the word that we have received and processed. So does it agree with the word? You ask yourself that question. Does this information or this thing that I'm hearing in my heart, this impression, this urge, does it agree with the word? That's very important. For instance, his voice will never tell you to go and tell lies. Not even a white lie. You know, there's something we call white lies, you know, because it's harmless, it's trivial, it's diplomatic, it's a well-intentioned lie. You know, it's just, some of us call it wisdom, you know. I just use wisdom there, you know. When you know you've told a lie, you know. And of course, you are right, it's wisdom. The Bible says his heartly is devilish and sensual. That's a wisdom that comes not from above. Because the Bible talks about two kinds of wisdom. You know, James chapter 3, verse 15. He says it heartly is devilish, is demonic, sensual. That's the wisdom that some of us use to tell lies. May the Lord deliver us. Amen. So if it does not agree with the word, then it is not from God. Now, and I said, if it does not agree with the spirit of the word, what exactly do I mean by that? Now, there are instances when the word does not expressly state a particular thing in details, but the spirit behind the word will let you know whether it is right or not. For instance, somebody that tells you, for instance, that he has received, you know, the instruction of the Holy Spirit to engage in using, you know, illicit drugs, you know, and the Lord has given him permission to go ahead and use illicit drugs as a lifestyle. He has just told a lie, and he will ask you, but God did not say that you should not use this particular drug and mention the name. Of course, he did not say it expressly, but the spirit of the word is against it. What do I mean? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 chapter 6, verse 19 makes it expressly clear that know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't destroy that body. And medical science tells us that those illicit drugs destroy your body. It destroys it from head to toe. It destroys everything. He said, you are not your own. Therefore, glorify the Father. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he was talking in this context, he was talking about the church. And he says, whosoever destroys the body, the Lord will destroy. He was talking about the gathering of people. It's a different context anyway, but the application is similar. So you know that the Spirit of the Lord does not want you to destroy the body. He did not mention cannabis. He did not mention amphetamines. He did not mention highs, Some of you are looking at me as, what am I talking about? Those are drugs, illicit drugs. Okay? He did not mention cocaine in words. You are not going to find it there. But he said, if you destroy this body, you are in trouble. That's the spirit behind the word. So you check it. You don't start looking for cocaine in the world. It's not there. Okay? That's why I said it must agree with the spirit of the word. It must agree with the spirit of the word. So it's important. So when you have this impression, when you have this hurge, when you have this deeply seated thought coming to you, check it with the word, check it with the spirit of the word. Number two, let's run fast. Now, do you experience inner peace about it? This is the peace test. Do you experience inner peace about it? I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And I will read verse 15. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let, verse 15 again, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know the word rule is an athletic term that is used to refer to an umpire, or what we refer to as a referee. So he's saying that let the peace of God act as the umpire in your heart. What does that mean? The umpire allows the game to proceed as long as you have not violated the rule. Once you violate one of the rules, for instance, the ball has just gone out of the line, and you want to continue with the game, the umpire will blow his whistle to say, no, we're going back to that point where there has been a violation of the rule. That's exactly the way the Holy Spirit acts in our heart. In fact, let me read other translations to you. The Amplifier says this. It says, let the peace of God, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor. Let the peace of God be the controlling factor in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise. The Good News Translation says this. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make. So there is a blowing of the whistle as you step outside, or as you intend to act upon a word that you think you receive from the Holy Spirit that is really not from him. The peace just leaves you. You just begin to struggle. There is an agitation of the spirit. I mean, if you have experienced this, it's so real. It's so real. So real. I mean, I've experienced this a couple of times, and I can tell you it's so real. It's just a struggle. You have not lost anything. You have not lost money. You have not lost house. You have not, but you're just restless in your spirit because you want to act upon something that you think is God's word, or that you think is the direction the Holy Spirit is leading you to, and he says no. What's happening at that time is he's blowing the whistle. He's saying, no, don't go further. You know, not too long ago, the interesting thing is, what he's asking you to do might be dangerous, but because if he's the one asking you to do it, you just have this peace, this serenity in your spirit. It's just something you can't describe. But there is this agitation that comes when you want to act upon something. You have not even done it, but you are thinking of acting upon it, and it's not of God. The umpire blows the whistle. It takes the peace away from you. The peace is like the cloak, the coat that you are wearing. And as you're going, it's like somebody just snatches the coat away from you and says, something is wrong here. It's freezing cold because you've been putting on the jacket. The Spirit of the Lord has just removed the peace from you. You know, not too long ago, there was something that the Lord dropped in my heart. It was great. It was huge. It was a great assignment. And I said, Lord, this is serious. How do I do this? You know, as soon as I begin to struggle, whenever I make up my mind to do it, to take the next step, there will just be this peace. Whenever I say it is too difficult, should I go ahead? I don't think I should go ahead. There will just be this agitation. So what I did was I just went to my pastor at that time and I said, you know, Pastor, this is the situation. I believe the Lord is leading me into this thing and I want you to pray along with me, you know. And the man of God, the pastor said, okay, I will pray along with you. As soon as I left that place, I mean, I've not even acted, but the fact that, well, I've not even acted on the issue, but the fact that I had already given it to somebody and I said, will you pray along with me? That's a step in that sense. And I got into my car and it was like, the feeling was like I just won a jackpot. And I was asking myself, so why are you laughing? You know, I was asking myself in the car because there was just this peace in my heart. All of a sudden, the heaviness, the struggle, the agitation just left, just like that. Why? Because I'd taken the first step to getting it done. I'd not even done it. And that's what the Spirit of the peace of God does. So as you begin to take that step, as you begin to move, okay, maybe you receive the voice or you perceive that the Holy Spirit is asking you to leave where you are and move into another city or another job. As you want to just make the move, there is just this agitation about it. Drop it. Drop it. Because your peace is leaving you. Now, the problem with many of us is that we have not actually known what peace is when we are with Christ. So when it leaves, we don't have an idea. You know, I'm wearing a coat now. If you take it off from me, then I know I've lost something. But for some people, they are not even putting it on. So when it leaves, they don't know because it's on the table. Okay? I want you to get used, and that comes in the place of fellowship. There are no substitutes to that. When the peace of God leaves, as you may have to make the decision, check it. It's not of God. When you feel the peace of God, even in the face of danger, go ahead. It is of God. That's the way. That's one of the instruments that the Lord has given to us as the church and as individuals to know exactly how to go about this thing. And this thing comes by reason of use. It comes by reason of use. Now, I don't. By the grace of God, these days, if I want to go into an office and it leaves me, I turn back. You know, if I want to talk to somebody and it leaves me, I keep my mouth shut. And you say, I thought you wanted to say something. No, don't worry, no. Why? Because it just left. Okay? And that's the way to be sent. When you say sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that's the way to grow about it. Because the peace just leaves you. You're just uncomfortable. Something just, it's just like you have lost something. All right? But when the peace comes, praise God. When the peace comes, you can face mountains. You can face dangerous decisions. You know, the peace does not say that everything is going to be, you don't even know how it's going to end anyway. You know, but you have that peace in your heart. That's an instrument of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The final thing. And I'm giving us three today. Not that this list is obviously not exhaustive, but these are the three that I believe they are very key, they are very important, and more importantly, they are things that I have tried and tested and used by God's grace in my own personal walk with God, and I've seen them work fantastically well. So this list is not in any way exhaustive. So we have talked about what does the word say. We have talked about do you experience inner peace about it? And finally, I'm going to talk about what do other believers say about it. What do other believers say about it? What do other believers say about it? Can I frame that in a better way? What do other mature believers say about it? You know, the self-sufficient, isolated living is our own Western idea. It's not God's idea. This idea that, it's between me and God is I'm the only one with God, God is the only one with me, and we're both into one another, no other person understands anything that is going on around my world, is an idea that we have created amongst ourselves, and that's one of the reasons why people drop out of church and have no fellowship with people around them. But they are missing out on a very great instrument that God actually put in the church amongst the believers, amongst the body of Christ. And that is checking it with other believers, checking it with other brethren. As a matter of fact, when you feel a urge and that you have a resistance to even discuss it with the next person who is a believer, when you feel that strong impression and you are struggling to even share it with the person that is next to you who is also a believer, check it. It's most likely not of God. When you are having this resistance, I'm not going to discuss it with him. Or I'm not going to discuss you. And the platform is not any other way, but it's not on any other reason other than the fact that I just don't want anybody to know about it because it's between me and God. But you've not finalized it. You don't even know. You don't have the full picture. Check it with somebody else. And I believe, I want to emphasize, check it with a mature believer. You know, somebody says, how do I know about mature believer? That's the reason why you are in church. And that's why this idea of just coming to church and just hearing God's word, you know, I just like church, I just go there, I just listen to pastor, and after grace, I just disappear. It's our idea of church. It's not God's idea. The idea of church, as far as God is concerned, is for you to connect with other people. And in the process of that, you're going to identify people that you can share thoughts with, share ideas with. Of course, not everybody in the church that you will go to and start talking to them, because there are some parrots in the church that are more dangerous than you think. Okay? But it is your idea, I mean, it is your responsibility to identify the people in the church that you can share ideas with, share thoughts with. And say, brother or sister, I'm having this hurt. What do you think? You think it's of God? You think it's of the devil? You think what do you think? Of course, you won't say it's of you. Do you think it's of you? Because everyone that hears God's word comes with this idea. You know, I think I hear God's word. You know, some people will come to you for counseling, and the way they will present it, you don't have any choice but just to keep silent. Because you can't say no, it's otherwise. Because they say, I just want you to hear about it and maybe just have your opinion. Although I know, I am very sure that I had God. You know, how do you give counsel to such a person? If the person is already telling you he knew he had God. You get what I'm telling you this because of experience. I mean, it's not about, and it's one of the very dangers that we experience as believers is that, you know, people hear the impression, they have this impression from God. The Holy Spirit has just impressed something in their heart. And the next thing they do is that they go to their workplaces or the people that their neighbor and begin to talk to them. People that have no spiritual clue, no idea of how the things of the Spirit work. The Bible says they cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to them. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There are things that are dropped in your spirit. It's not to be shared with the neighbor or with your friend because they have it came from the Spirit. It should be dealt with by somebody that is spiritually matured or that is spiritually inclined. And when I say spiritually inclined, I'm not talking about those ones that cross their legs and fold their arms and go in the Spirit. No. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you enter into a place, they cross the legs, they cross the arm. I mean, you don't need to cross your legs and cross your arm to be in the Spirit. Praise God. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter number 2, they were actually sitting down. They weren't kneeling down, they weren't crossing their legs, they weren't standing up, they were sitting down when the Holy Spirit came. There's no physical posture that necessarily invites the Spirit. You can be anywhere and talk with the Spirit of the Lord. I think that's for somebody else here because I didn't plant that anyway. But what I'm emphasizing is check it with the people. Check it with the people of God. Check it with spiritually matured folks, you know. And it doesn't have to be the pastor, people of God. It doesn't have to be me in this church. There are people that God has raised in our midst that have ideas, that have walked with God enough to know, to be able to give their own contribution. It doesn't necessarily have to override you. It's just a check. Don't forget, I said, these are instruments to help you. They are not substitutes to your training. You know, there was a man in 1 Kings chapter number 12. The name is Rehoboam. This guy was the son of Solomon. And when Solomon vacated the seat, he was the one there. He became the king. And for some reasons, the people of the land came to him and he said, you know, your father Solomon gave us too much work. What are you going to do? Are you going to lessen our burden? And the guy said, okay, go away. After a few days, you come back. And when they had gone, he went to the elders that used to give counsel to Solomon. Can you imagine? The counselors of Solomon. And he checked with them. What do you think I should say to these guys? They've come to me and they said, I should lessen their bodies, burdens. And those wise counselors, they said, yes, go ahead and lessen their bodies. Just serve them to start. Because once you are able to get, when you are able to get them in now, they will serve you all your life. Just say yes to it. And they left. And then he said, oh, okay. And he went, the Bible says he went with to those people that he grew up with, those ones that he went to primary school or secondary school with, you know. And then he said, what do you guys think we should do? They've said I should lessen their burden. I should reduce their workload. What do you think? They said, don't even try it. Don't even try it. Tell them that I'm going to increase your burden. That my father beat you with whip. I'm going to beat you with scorpions. 1 Kings chapter number 12. And that man lost the kingdom. It was by reason of the covenant to David that he kept two, Benjamin and Judah. Why? Because he acted foolishly on the advice that was given to him by his peers. There are some people that know better than you do. Speak to them. There are things that you check with your mates. There are things that you check with the people ahead of you spiritually. And you don't want to mix the two together. Now, a word of caution here. Now, when you're going to check what they will believe, like the Holy Spirit has put in your heart, it is preferable that you check with those that don't have stakes with what you are, the decisions you are about to make. That don't have stakes. They don't have interest, as it were. They don't have things to lose. Unfortunately, many of us, we don't have many people around us that don't have something to lose or gain based on the decisions we make. I mean, that's why they are around us in the first instance. But if it is possible, make sure that they don't have so much stakes in the decision, because you can be sure that there is going to be a bias somewhere. I mean, it's just like a child whose parents detest this idea of, you know, multicultural interracial marriage. And then it comes to the same father who had always maintained that I don't believe in some people from a part of the world marrying some people from another part of the world. And then you are coming to the same father and say, "Father, you know, something is doing something in my heart, you know, towards this girl. What do you think?" Of course, you know the answer before you ask the question, because the man has a stake in it. So if it's possible, don't go to people that you've got stakes in, that have stakes in the decisions you have made, you're about to make. Now, those three things are instruments that God has delivered into your hands, and you need to use them with your training. They will help you a great deal. The Word of God, the Spirit of the Word, the peace of God. And number three, check it with mature believers. Seek their opinion, especially when there are things that have to do with the things of the Spirit. Now, as we round up this morning, I want to ask you the question. Why does God want to speak to us? Why does he desire for us to hear him? Because it's very important that we know that. Now, and I'm sure that we'll have a couple of responses to that. I mean, somebody will say that, if I ask you this morning, what's the real purpose behind God speaking to us? Why does he desire for us to hear him? Somebody will say, well, maybe it's to keep us safe. You know, it's for protection. And you won't be wrong. Because Matthew chapter number 2, verse 13 talks about God speaking to Joseph, you know, about the child, the baby called Jesus, to go and take him out of the land into Egypt to preserve his life. So God can speak to us to preserve us, to protect us, to keep us safe. But is that actually the real purpose of him speaking to us? Is that actually the real purpose of him wanting to speak to us? I would say maybe not. Somebody will say, well, it's maybe to direct us to beneficial grounds where we can get some benefits and stuff like that. You remember Abraham in chapter number 12 of the book of Genesis? God said to him, and God has said to Abraham to leave your country, leave your fellow, leave your kindred, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. So God speaks to us to give us direction. And you won't be wrong, but is that actually the real purpose, the real reason why God wants to speak to us? I would say no. I mean, somebody will say, well, maybe it's to preserve you and to sustain you. You remember in 1 Kings chapter number 17, God spoke to Elijah, go to the brook called Cherith, and I'm going to command the ravens to bring your food. That's cool, you know, ravens just coming around, just getting your food on the table. Anyway, is the voice to preserve? I would say yes, you're not really wrong, but is that really the purpose of God speaking to us, especially as New Testament believers? I would say maybe not. Somebody will say, well, maybe the voice is actually to cause us to have comfort and reassurance. You remember in Acts chapter number 27, Paul was on a journey with some other people, and they feared for their life because there was a chaotic storm going on, and they said, we're going to all perish. And Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, well, guys, you're not going to perish, because the angel of the Lord appeared to me, and he said, there is not going to be any loss of life in this boat or in the ship. And of course, that was exactly what he said, guys, rise up and eat, because you have been off food for days, because they were panicking. But the angel of the Lord has spoken to Paul. So he had some comfort and reassurance. Now, but is that the real purpose? Is that the real purpose why God wants us to speak, that God wants us to hear his voice speaking to us? Is that the real purpose why God desires that we hear him? I would say maybe not. What's the real purpose? Let's go back to our text, chapter number 10 of the book of John. Chapter number 10 of the book of John, verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep, what? Follow him. For they, what? Know his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Very clear. The simple, most important reason, the baseline reason why God wants you to hear him is to enhance your followership. The baseline reason why God desires that your ear of the Spirit pop open and hear his voice is to make you a better disciple. Preservation, yes. Sustenance, yes. Direction, yes. Provision, yes. Those things come as benefits of following the shepherd. As long as the sheep follows the shepherd, those things are there. They are benefits. You know, just like in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. All the hearing of God for preservation, for provision, and for sustenance, they are additions that come to you as the sheep follow the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures because I follow him. He leads me beside the still waters because I follow him. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil. Why? Because I follow him. The main reason why the Lord desires that you hear him is to ensure that you are a better disciple than you are. Now, the interesting thing is, all the other things that I've mentioned are actually the reason why these people desire to hear him. And that's why people engage into what I refer to as intermittent hearing. Intermittent hearing is, oh, I'm getting old, I need to marry. Lord, speak to me. Who do I marry? Or, God, this job is difficult. God, speak to me. Which job do I take? And that happens on six monthly basis or one yearly basis or in space of time. And we are pursuing the benefits of the hearing of his voice when we're actually supposed to be following the baseline reason, the main purpose of us hearing his voice. The shepherd is the one that determines the sheep follows the shepherd, and all these other things happen to him as he follows the shepherd. As he follows the shepherd. So the Lord desires to make you a better disciple. And why does he want you to make a better disciple? He wants you to become like Christ. He wants you to become like Christ. Now, as you become like Christ, you discover that your hearing is not going to be intermittent, because you desire to hear the shepherd talk to you about himself. You know, when we come to God as a sheep, what we say is, Lord, I'm your sheep. Speak to me about me. But he says there is a higher platform. You're supposed to be as the sheep. Lord, you are the shepherd. Speak to me about yourself. That's the man that desires to be a disciple. This consumeristic instinct that is overwhelming in our society is the reason why many of us want to use God's gift to satisfy personal, fleshly desires. And that's why we don't hear him. Because we never ask the shepherd what is in his mind for us. We ask the shepherd how he will fulfill what is in our mind for ourselves. And that's why we don't hear him, because we only come to him when we want to have a particular fulfillment of the desire. And he does want it to be a lifestyle. And don't forget, you know, the Bible says, follow me and I will make you. Matthew chapter 4, when he will talk to those disciples. Follow me, I will make you. What we say is, Lord, make me and I will follow you. That's not discipleship, that's consumerism. Discipleship is, I will follow you, you make me. And that's the order of the day. That's the way God wants it to be. You know, the interesting thing that happens, when you follow Christ to become like Christ, it is not an adventure of taking. It's an adventure of giving. It's not an adventure of being served. It's an adventure of serving. It's not an adventure of what do I get. It's an adventure of what do I give. And that is the radical thing that needs to change in our mind. The primary desire for you to hear God that should be in the heart of everyone present here is, Lord, let me hear you so that I can become a better disciple, so that I can become more like Christ. That's the primary reason. The sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The only reason why the shepherd desires for the sheep, the primary reason why the shepherd desires the sheep to hear his voice is so that they can follow him. Somebody say, but what about preservation? What about provision? The shepherd is so sure. He's so sure that as long as the sheep follow him, he will be preserved. The shepherd is so sure that as long as the sheep follow him, he will be taken care of. The shepherd is so sure that as long as the sheep follow him, even in the shadow of the death, the sheep will be preserved. It will be sustained. It will be provided for. So this morning, what's the challenge? I want your prayer to be, Lord, I'm sorry I've concentrated on asking you to speak to me about me. Now I want you to begin to speak to me about you. I want you to begin to speak to me about you. And you know what? I can guarantee you, we will talk to you about serving. He will talk to you about giving. He will talk to you about contributing. He will talk to you about that neighbor that needs to be prayed for. He will talk to you about the church that needs to be supported. That's what he will tell you. I'm telling you. He will talk to you about the people that needs to be supported and cared for that you have neglected. He will talk to you about the areas of the body of Christ that you need to fill because you've got the grace and the instruments. Those are the things that I will talk to you about. As the sheep begin to ask the master, Lord, tell me about you. You know what happens? The master does not conclude his statement without including you, because he has you in his mind. That's the order. That's the order, people. Let's this order of hearing God so that I can know what to do. All those things are great. They are good. They are fantastic. But they are mere benefits. Benefits that come as you pursue him in discipleship. Followership is the name of the game, people of God. Getting to become like Christ. As you do that, you know what happens? He speaks to you day by day, and you function better in your ministry. So Isaiah chapter number 50, I close with this. If you are in church, say amen. Isaiah chapter number 50. I'll read verse 4. The Lord God has given me the thong of the learned. Isaiah chapter number 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the thong of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. We say this is a great gift, isn't it? The Lord God has given me the thong of the learned. So I know exactly what to speak to people, what to say to people when they are going through trouble. I know exactly what to say to them. That's the manifestation of the grace of God. But read down that. He said, he awakens me morning by morning. This is not an intermittent speaker. And this is not an intermittent hearer. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ears and I was not rebellious. Now, what this is saying is this. That because I hear him on a continuous basis, I am equipped to be able to speak to the person that is weary. Now, that talks about taking it from just the intermittent approach of asking God to speak to you when you need a breakthrough, to a daily life of listening to him because he has an assignment. He awakens my ears morning by morning. People of God, it's time for us to grow. And by growth, I mean the beauty of the spiritual gift is that it only works when you use it for the purpose for which the originator, the master, has created it. That's the beauty of spiritual. It does not work in your hands when flesh is at the center. It does not work. And that's why there are deaf and we're struggling in this area of hearing God, because the entire purpose of it all is to satisfy self. It's about me, and me alone. And the Spirit doesn't speak to people like that. Let's change our course of direction and begin to hear God and ask him, Lord, what do you want to tell me about you? What do you have in mind about you? Because you know, as you follow the shepherd, people of God, you will find the good grass. He will take you by the side of the waters because he's the shepherd. He's a good shepherd. The voice is primarily about giving, serving, and about being useful. And until we go back to that basis of discipleship and service, we won't hear him. So why does the shepherd speak? So the sheep will hear his voice. Why does he want him to hear his voice? So that he will know his voice. Why does he want him to know his voice? So that he, the sheep, will follow him. Let us pray.